you tend to find those crusty bags of half-open chips at the bottom of the locker, right? Or if you were a peanut butter and jelly person, how many people like ate peanut butter and jelly every day, like the entire school year? Yeah, me too. And then there's this weird thing called peanut butter. No, what was it? It was cream cheese and jelly I got into, which looks disgusting but tasted really good. So you probably found one of those moldy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the bottom of your locker. Probably the lost gym shirt that you had to buy three times over, sweaty and crusty at the bottom as well. And more than likely, you found crumbled up those really bad grade test papers that you were supposed to bring home to your parents, and ooh, I just lost it. Lost it at the bottom. Never made it home. You know, we find out if we never really deal with these things, we tend to stuff it on the inside of the locker, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And if we're not careful, if you get so much stuff piled up in there, when you open up your locker in front of someone else, those things tend to pile and spill out, right? Sometimes even stink a little bit. Do you remember the teacher when she'd drag out those giant trash bins in the hall? Do you remember how overflowing they were when everyone cleaned out their locker together? We're going to clean out our lockers together in this series. You know, sometimes we think, or it's like, okay, I'm going to clean that out later. You know, we get busy. You know, how many people know random things happen? Random things, people shove random things in your hand. Do you remember like flyers and just weird stuff at school? And you're like, I don't care about this. And you're like, I'll go through it later. And I just shove it in my locker. And later really never comes. And eventually, you know, the corners of those crumbled papers start to slip out. You know, the little slots in your locker or get in the door jam. You know those lockers in the hall. And when you get to that point, you know, we're probably well overdue for a clean out session. And we're going to do it together. I'm going to be just very raw and vulnerable in this. I found myself in a similar emotional state this summer. It had been a really rough and very, very stressful year. And yo, I'm pregnant, okay? So like, I had like hormones on top of it, okay? No coffee and lots of hormones. Nothing fits. Like a stuffed turkey every day. It was so hard. And, you know, and you know, you're just doing life with people. And how many people know when you're doing life with people, things hurt? It's just a matter of time, and things hurt. And I think I just got overwhelmed by so many hurts from, there were family situations going on. Raise your hand in family situations, man. I'll tell you, nothing cuts deeper than your own blood sometimes, okay? And then I had some friendship situations that I was blindsided. You ever, like, a friend was mad at you and didn't let you know, and 3 weeks later, they're like, why wouldn't you tell me 3 weeks ago? Like, just call me. It's just weird. And I had some stuff going on in the church, so I just felt like I was just getting hit from every side. And I think I hit the tipping point this summer. You know, the tipping point where it just starts to pour out. And my heart was just broken. I'm just being real. It's okay. Do you know pastors are human beings? We're people just like you. we hurt everybody say, everybody hurts sometimes. It's like the 90s song. Yes, you're singing 90s. I'm a child of the 90s. I was graduated from high school in the year 2000. Yes, please don't do the math. you know, it happens. And so I took some time off preaching to kind of refocus and heal, and I had to deal with some of these issues in my life. I had to clean out the locker because it was poking out the little holes, and it was not good. You know, how many people know you sometimes become your worst self when you're hurting, right? Come on. Raise your hand if you're a human being out here. Okay, am I the only honest one? Okay, we're going to be honest together. Thank you. you know, it's interesting. You can't preach something until you work through it. So thank you for giving me some time to work through it, right? Because your pastor's not a hypocrite. So I had to go through some cleaning out some hurt, looking at some unforgiveness that I didn't even realize was there, so I can preach this message. So don't be like, she's preaching at me. I'm like, yo, we're going through it together, okay? Let's do it together. Amen. So what did I do? I had to push past the pain, because how many people know sometimes you don't really want to talk to God about things because you just don't want to get angry and cry. You just don't feel like talking about it. And I had to push past that pain and spend some time, a lot of time in the Word and in worship. And then as the Lord started impressing things in my heart, I had to then take steps towards restoring healthy relationships in these areas that did hurt. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18, if you turn there, I really loved it in the Amplified Bible, and the New King James was really good too. So this is Jesus declaring. So he quoted the prophet Isaiah. And he went to the temple, and Jesus declared this scripture over himself. And this is a scripture you can declare over yourself as well. But Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." How many people need some good news in their life? Especially when you're hurting. Yes. The New King James says this, he has sent me, Jesus is saying, God sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Did you know your broken heart is just as important as a broken bone, as a broken relationship? He specifically came to the earth with you in mind to heal your broken heart. And then Jesus quoted again, he said this, he has sent me to announce the release, the pardon, the forgiveness to captives. How many people know that there is a release with forgiveness? Sometimes you got to forgive yourself. Sometimes you got to forgive people around you, but there's just that release that you can step into freedom. And then he said this, God sent him to for the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who were oppressed. Raise your hand if you felt downtrodden. That's what the Amplified Bible says. Bruised. How many people know your heart and your feelings can get bruised? Okay, and crushed by tragedy. And sometimes it's just grief. How many people know that when you're going through a hard time and a tragedy, Satan's like, oh, I'm gonna kick them while they're down. And I'm just gonna use people close to them just to just kick them in the teeth while they're at it. So John 16 verse 13 says this, the Holy Spirit, he came, Holy Spirit came to partner with the work of Jesus Christ to bring healing. And the Holy Spirit came to bring freedom and truth to the spiritually blind spots in our life. How many people know we all have blind spots, right? Blind spots, that's like a really nice PC way of saying we have areas of deception in our life, right? They're deceived. Yes, we all have areas of deception in our life. We all have blind spots that we're not aware of. And, you know, how do I say this? These blind spots in our life, if we're not aware of them, we really need people that we love and trust, mature believers, mature Christians, that love us and want to see us be healthy, that will help bring these blind spots to light and bring healing to them. And not, otherwise we're going to just harbor and justify the hurt and shove it in our hurt locker. And we can play that victim card. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, Satan has blinded the minds. If you put your hands over your eyes real quick, blinded the minds so they're unable to see the truth of a situation. These are blind spots. You know, sometimes we only see our own perspective. You know those horses that are along the side of the road and they have those, what, blinds on? Because they can't see the other perspective of the other people around them. And these demonic spirits will use that hurt in our life to blind us from other people's perspective of a situation and from seeing that person the way Jesus sees them and to keep holding on to that hurt locker. So that total healing comes from saturated time in the presence of God, in the Word of God. And we have to find scripture to guide us, because how many people know if you allow your emotions to guide you, where's that going to take you? It's going to take you right off a cliff. Like, I mean, it's going to take you so deep in the hurt locker, you're never going to be able to get out. And you know, and here's the sad part. When we read our Bible out of context, it is really easy to allow our emotions to guide us through scripture that tells us what we want to hear. I Google all the time, you know, scriptures for peace, scriptures for healing, scriptures for forgiveness. My goodness, that's how we do messages, right? But God will speak most pointedly to you if you'd read the Bible in context. Don't just take out the candy-coated one that we want to hear, because that justifies our situation. Read the thing from cover to cover, and at least this, start from one chapter in the book to the end of it. Do you know what I mean? So if you start in Ephesians, there's a lot of candy-coated awesome stuff in Ephesians, but there's a lot of stuff that's going to read your mail. So read Ephesians from cover to cover, and then read the next book, and the next book, and the next book, because we will be able to then hear accurately and clearly, not through the lens of our own emotions of what we want to hear, what the Lord is speaking to us. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living. This is in the Amplified Bible. It's living, it's active, it's full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of our soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. That means when we read the word of God, he's going to be able to kind of go, okay, that's your emotional hurt. Okay, that's your past. That's that other person. That's that previous relationship that hurt you. This is what I'm saying to you. And it says, so it will divide the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the spirit. So it's going to divide what our emotions are telling us and what the Holy Spirit is telling us through the word. Both joints and marrow and the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Other translations say the motives. So if you would like to really discern the motives of your heart in certain situations and the motives of other people's hearts, the Word of God will help you accurately divide that. So when we have deep times in Scripture, it exposes the demonic lies that make us wrongly assume that people want to hurt us. Did you know most people really are not trying to hurt you? They are just hurting. And in their reaction, we say stupid things and it hurts. But it wasn't the intention. How many people know that you've hurt people in your life? Raise your hand if you've hurt someone in your life and you didn't mean to hurt them. Like, it wasn't your intention. Like, honestly, you're just having a bad day. Like, hormones and pregnancy and, you know, like, someone cut you off on the way to work. You spilt your coffee and your kid just threw up projectile vomit in your car. I had a friend that every day on the drive to work, she had to drive to Lancaster. She was a single mom. How many people know? Listen, single moms are my heroes. They're amazing. She's a single mom. She had to drive all the way to Lancaster to get childcare she could afford. And her son projectile vomited every day on the way.
Oh my gosh.
Every day. I was like, Sarah, I said, oh my gosh. I just like prayed for her, you know? You don't know what there's going on in their life. And they just say something because they're tired, they're hangry. And it hurt you, but it wasn't their intention. The Word of God will help you discern the motive of their heart. So 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says this, the Lord will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. And the Lord will do it. The more we're full of his word, not our emotions, right? It's just emotions taking us over, right? When we're filled with the Word of God and not just our emotions all getting worked up. And how many people know the more you talk about your emotions, we think we feel better. And listen, there's a time and a place. And listen, find a mature Christian, a believer, a counselor, a pastor, a best friend, your spouse, whoever's really, really healthy. You need someone to talk these things over with. I'm not saying stuff it inside. I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to shout it to the rooftops to everybody that walks by. How many people know that person that's going to tell their hurt to every human being that walks by? And maybe even not a human being. Maybe they just, I've seen them talk to themselves down the street. First sign of mental illness sometimes, okay? But consider the source. All right, so emotions will lie to you. Raise your hand if you know that your emotions lie to you. Just because you feel it doesn't always mean that is what God is telling you, right? And just because we feel something doesn't mean it lines up with Scripture. But if we Google it, we'll find a Scripture to back it. You follow me? Read the thing in context, and God will tell you some things that you don't want to hear, but it'll make you a healthier person. How many people have that best friend? That best friend will not tell you what you want to hear, but they'll tell you things because they love you, and they want to see you protected and healed and whole and save you from yourself. I'll tell you, I'm a firstborn, and it was really interesting. A lot of my friends in life were firstborns. Why? Because, man, they're going to tell you like it is. I'm just saying, okay? And I'll tell you, I surround myself with people that don't tell me what I want to hear. They love me so much. They want to protect me even from myself sometimes. They want to see me walk in healing and wholeness and truth, and they want to help me with those blind spots. And the Word of God is that best friend in your life. So we'll often say, God is telling me to do something, but it's just really how our feelings feel. So I'll say this, search the Scripture and find Scripture in context that will back what the Lord is telling you to do, because sometimes there might need to be some adjustment there. Because let me tell you something about demonic spirits, man. Demons like to manipulate your emotions. Raise your hand if you know that. Why? Because it's easy when you're all worked up and emotional. Because they'll tell you something that'll line up with your emotions. Whew. And not only can that destroy your life, it can actually destroy someone else's in our reactions. It'll cause us to make emotional decisions. Whew. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. So once we get in the Scripture and read it in context and hear the Lord start to discern motives in our heart, motives in other people's hearts, and what his intention and his purposes are in the midst of all these things, then we can start reworking on rebuilding those healthy relationships. We need a word from the Lord to know how, right? We need our hearts to heal. I needed my heart to heal, because I'll tell you, when my ugly was not a good time to talk to someone that hurt me, right? I needed some healing and some direction from the Lord. But Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says this, I will restore your health and heal your wounds. The Lord wants to restore healthy relationships in your life. The Lord wants to restore your mental health. The Lord wants to heal the wounds of not only your physical body, but your heart as well. declares the Lord, because they call you an outcast for whom no one cares. Where's that? He's repeating a lie. Someone else says you're an outcast. Someone else says no one cares about you. Someone else says you're crazy. Someone else says, you know what, come on, like all these lies people tell you, right? You're not worthy. You're not good enough. These lies that go through our head. This is what the world is saying. These are sometimes people in our lives, people that even say they love us, but they say hurtful things. This is what they are saying. But God says, I'm going to restore your health and I'm going to heal your wounds. And says, but this is what the Lord says. When I bring Israel home again from captivity and I restore their fortunes, Jerusalem will be rebuilt on its ruins and the palace restructured as before. In other words, no matter what lie Satan is using other people to come against you with, he's here to heal your heart, heal your wounds, and he's here afterwards, after the healing comes, to restore and rebuild healthy community, healthy friendships, healthy family, healthy marriage. This is his heart. He's the restorer of all things. So like I said, you're going on a journey with me. I had to really work through some deep hurts, like I said, from multiple things, family, friends, church, relationships. It was just from every side. And as I got in the word, the Lord would just get me in context with scripture. And there were areas that I had thought I had forgiven fully. And I was really just in the process. How many people know that forgiveness is a process and it's a choice? And I was on the journey, honestly, truly. But not everything had fully healed up and forgiven. And he wanted to continue that process in those areas. You know, you can say you've forgiven someone, but it still really hurts. And you're in the process, you forgive by faith. But sometimes we just like shoved it in the locker and God's like, okay, I still want to deal with this hurt that caused. And you know, it's really hard to deal with those hurts when they keep piling up. The more you interact with a person, the more they pile that hurt on you. It's hard, and it starts to not only affect that relationship, but our relationship with other people. Because if you've been dumped on all day long at work, you know, you can have a verbally abusive coworker or a boss at work. Just make your life at work hell. And what happens? You stuff it, you stuff it, you stuff it, because that's what they pay me to do, right? And the first person you see when you come home gets it unloaded. Or the person that cut you off and that finger went where? Huh? Hey, what's up? Okay. I remember one. I don't get road rage. Okay. Don't. But I remember somebody was flicking me off and they had their child in the back seat. And I was like, I accidentally cut them off. And then I responded in road rage. No, seriously, Pastor Sherry, this is years ago. I was going through a very hard time. If you knew what my 2016, 17, 18 looked like. And I pulled my car beside them. I got out. I can't believe I'm telling this story. And I was like, use your words. I was annoyed. They're using gestures in the rearview mirror. I was like, come on, take some courage, use your words. I'm like, I'm crazy right now. Get back in your car. Just get back in your car. But if you knew, I was getting screamed at, yelled at, and cussed at every day. And that one person that flicked me off was just the person that got the overflow of my hurt locker. Real talk. That was not my message. That's okay. We need to laugh sometimes. Okay. Use your words! Anyway, so embarrassing. All right, so we're going on this journey together, right? Together with me, we are all going to clean out our hurt locker. I have nothing to clean out. You are a liar. Because that means you're like isolated and you're not doing life with people. And God, you're not going to be any effect for the kingdom of God if you don't interact with people and have relationships. You're going to have coworker relationships. You're going to have neighborhood relationships. You're going to have family relationships, friends. If you don't have friends, we have an issue there. We got to work through it, okay? And you have to have church family relationships. And if you don't have those, we have an issue there we need to work through. Because if you don't have these relationships, God can't flow through you, the spirit-filled life, for the kingdom of God, right? So we're going to find healing and reconciliation, wholeness, and unity together. And we're going to walk in something called shalom peace. Shalom peace means there is nothing broken or missing in your life. Everybody say this, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay? We're going to go through this together. And Jesus is going to heal those broken places in our hearts. It takes some honesty here. And how many people know Pastor Sherry is a very honest preacher to the point where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is being recorded. But we're going to be honest together and vulnerable together. And we're going to release and get rid of that long record of hurt. You ever see, you know, like the Santa Claus movies where they do the list of like the naughty and nice, and then the naughty list is like rolling out on the floor down the aisle. And that's kind of how we keep our long record of hurt. You're like, this person hurt me in the second grade, and this person hurt me, and it just rolls out. Love keeps no account, right? And we're going to choose to start this forgiveness process by faith. Whew. Where do I want to go here? All right. Next point. Relationships are hard. They're really hard. It takes a lot of work to overcome hurt. But we have to fight for our marriages, right? Raise your hand. We need to fight for marriage. Marriage was created by God. God created male and female. Yes, it's in Genesis. And he said, this is a good thing. And my goodness, men need women and women need men. It's not good for a man to be alone. God said it, okay? So he's going to create marriage and family. It's like God's first agenda. Okay, and it is worth fighting for, right? How many people know it is hard work? Hard work. It is worth working on the relationships with your children. It is hard work, especially them teenage years. I'm a youth pastor. I will just get in your corner. I am with you. Parents are the pastors of their home. I am in your corner. It is hard work. You can't just go, hey, go to sleep their freshman year and wake up when they're 18 and say, leave the house and everything's going to be okay. You're going to have to work at it. There's a lot of hurt there. How many people know raising teenagers can be really hurtful sometimes? All those hormones, they just say everything they're feeling, you know, yell at you, I hate you. And I'm like, I love you. I birthed you. Don't leave me. You know, this is kids, okay? But you still love your kid and you still work on it. All right. It is hard work to build and maintain friendships and community. We'll fight for marriages, we'll fight for family, but for some reason, we think it's okay to not fight for friendships and community. It is throughout the Word of God, the body of Christ, the family of believers. That's why he always addresses my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you need to fight with the same tenacity to keep and restore healthy relationships in family and in community and church family. We need to fight the same way we fight for unity in a marriage. We should fight for unity in a church. But why don't we? Because it hurts. It is very important work to rebuild bridges so they can be stronger than before. And the ultimate bridge was Jesus Christ, and he is the ultimate bridge builder and rebuilder. Isaiah 59, verse 12. Says this, your old waste places and ruins will be rebuilt. This is in the Amplified in the BRG, which I can't remember what version that is because I'm great with acronyms. So your old waste places and ruins will be rebuilt. How many people think you've ruined a relationship? Whew. God said there is nothing beyond repair. Your old waste places and ruins will be rebuilt. Now it might take 20 years. Give God some time. How many people know they have family members? I have a family member that I'm doing math, 25 years of prayer. And believe it or not, over a pandemic, when everybody became their worst self, this person started, we started seeing the fruit of prayers and healing start happening in their life. Don't quit. It might be on their breath with their last couple words. And if you continue to pray and work towards that relationship and they may be 90 years old, it was worth it, right? These ruins will be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have laid waste for many generations. You might look at your family tree. My mom's whole branch of the family tree was, like, destroyed. I mean, it's my mom's story to share, but addiction and just hurt just wreaked havoc through my mom's entire family tree. She's oldest of six, and she has one remaining sibling. And lost her parents early. Just so much like hurt and pain, and they were just burying in an addiction. And if you want some encouragement, like, I'll tell you, my mom knows how to fight. And she's seen like incredible things happen with remaining family, which I'll be vague, because how many people know you still need to protect and love people, okay? It may look like it's ruined. It may look like it's completely destroyed. But the Lord says this as we keep reading, you shall raise up the foundations of the building. That means what you build your foundation on can't be hurt. Needs to be a healthy foundation. How people know sometimes you gotta like take a building apart and relook it and fix the foundation. Maybe need to rip that foundation up and put a healthy one in there. And it takes time and it's painful work.
raise up the foundations of the building that have laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called, it's talking about Jesus, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths and streets to dwell in. Modern terms, the rebuilder of the bridge. You may think that bridge has been burnt down a decade ago beyond repair, and you are going way out of your way to avoid that person at Walmart and family gatherings. Every time they text you, so busy, super busy, 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 can't seem to fit you in, so busy. It's really, I just can't deal with any more hurt right now. And God says, listen, I'm going to heal your heart because that needs to get healed, right? And I'm going to teach you how to be a part of that restoration, that renovation, that rebuilding process. Because when the Lord is at the center of a restoration and a renovation project, the bones of the body of Christ get rebuilt and mended and healed together stronger than before. How many people know that? When you break a bone and it heals healthy, it's stronger in that area of brokenness than it ever was before. And that's God's intention, to rebuild and restore the body of Christ and healthy relationships that God has called into your life. Now, there's other kinds of relationships, and I had to cut out so many notes. Welcome to a series. Yes, we're going to talk about abuse. We're going to talk about it because it needs to be talked about. And we're going to talk about people that can't stop hurting you and how do we navigate those kinds of things, because God does not want his children abused. God does not want his body abused. We will talk about that. Right now, I'm talking today about restoring healthy relationships that God has put in your life. Does that make sense? So don't keep putting butts and say, I will address that. I literally had to cut it out of my notes. All right, so this series is talking about overcoming and healing from hurt. And we're going to talk about how we can get out of that hurt locker and clean it out. Because hurt can be so incredibly damaging in the body of Christ, but it is inevitable because we're doing life with people. And if not, like I said, you can't live in an isolated hole and not become super weird and effective for the kingdom of God. You will have to have friends. You will have to have some sort of relationship with family, right? You have to have church family. And like I said, now if those are abusive people in your life, God will put healthy people in your life until they can become healthy and you can interact. But in the meantime, we still have to walk in this process of forgiveness and healing from those wounds. And I will address that later, I said, so please hang on with me here. We're gonna have to team up and do life with people to accomplish what God has called us to do. Because as you know, he's called us to do things in community and as a team, not as an army of one. Why did Jesus send people out two by two and as a group of disciples in a church body? Everything was in community and church body and partnership. Why? Because when you're isolated by yourself, we can read in 1 Peter later, Satan will pick you off faster than anything and tear you apart just by the thoughts in your own brain. So every day we probably need to be in the process of forgiveness. If you are not in the process of forgiveness every day, we have a problem. Either you're not doing life with people or you're like stuffing unforgiveness and hurt and not dealing with it. Every day someone's gonna hurt us. Every day someone is gonna say the wrong thing in the wrong timing in their own arrogance, stupidity, or maybe purposely try to hurt you. Every day we're gonna be dealing with this. And if you keep kicking it under the carpet and shoving it at the bottom of your hurt locker, you're going to eventually trip over it to the point where it can't be ignored anymore. And it will utterly destroy not only your mental health, it'll destroy your relationships, it'll destroy unity and godly things, and it will completely rob you blind of the blessings of God and the relationships of God that he's put in your life to do what you're called to do. You know, watching the news is hard because you see the brokenness of humanity and people marketing it, which is sad. But if you ever turn on the news, and you see it in York all the time, but you hear of someone got angry and shot someone else, took a life, or someone attacked and assaulted someone else, it's not because they're crazy most of the time. Honestly, it's because someone has hurt them, and they have never learned how to clean that out and had the Lord heal those broken places of hurt. And what happens is you get so much hurt on the inside that it just spills out and you start hurting people around you. We live in a generation with a hurt epidemic. Does that make sense? And we need these hurts in our lives healed up so we can overflow not hurt and judgment, but overflow healing power and freedom. And we can't bring healing and freedom to areas we haven't first walked in healing and freedom. That's where religion comes from and why religion is so damaging.
because they read the Bible for someone else, and they just take their Bible and beat someone up over their head, and they're hurt in their brokenness, and that judgment and that cynicism and that you're not good enough and you need to look a certain way thing causes more damage to anything than not, and those areas need to be cleaned out. Does that make sense? So if you have a lot of hurt piled up in your hurt locker, most times the very first thing it's going to produce is anger. And if you start to internalize that anger, we're going to talk about it more in the future. If you start to internalize that anger, it can start to bring depression on the inside. Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, the human spirit can endure a sick body. It's easier to endure the flu and the common cold because there is a beginning and an end to it, okay? But who can bear a crushed spirit? I had to deal with this because there were some things that happened that just crushed my spirit. I even had to deal with, like, I thought I dealt with it and it came up again this week. And I was like, oh, my spirit was so crushed. I, like, went home and I was like, Brad, just hold me. It's so great to come home to a godly spouse. It's my best friend. And he tells me things I don't want to hear because he loves me. And he told me some things I didn't want to hear because he loved me. But if I wallowed in that crushed spirit, I wouldn't be here today. I had more things blow up this week, and I can't even tell you. Like, to preach, it just took every ounce of faith in me. It is hard to persevere past a crushed spirit. How many people have been in a situation where someone tried to or didn't try to, but it just broke your heart? It crushed your spirit where you didn't have the strength, the endurance even to get out of bed. Like, you know what? Real talk. Or maybe even to interact with people, whatever it may be. Maybe even face that area. It just you didn't have the strength. You kind of go into autopilot mode and you just kind of work, sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat. The Lord is acknowledging this. But keep reading, because if we keep reading in context, there's an answer. So I'm telling you, you can find scriptures to wallow with you, and then you'll read the answer. And it says this. So the Message Bible says this: a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? So there's a question being posed in scripture that we're supposed to keep reading and studying into. The question is asked not to show you that there's nothing you can do, but to show the seriousness of the hurt. If you hold on to it too long, it will crush your spirit. It'll break you. I know that brokenness, and I'll tell you, abuse will... I don't have time to dig into that. Please hang in with me. Like I said, there are a lot of things that you need to take time to carefully unpack. Does that make sense? We need healing in those areas. We need deep healing in those areas. And Jesus came to heal those areas so we can move forward and conquer what God has told us to conquer, right? But when we get stuck in that hurt locker and all we're doing is rehearsing, reliving, retelling over and over again all the hurts and all the wrongs and all the nastiness and the lies and the horrific things that people have used to beat us down with and hold us back, we're going to get so stuck in our hurt locker, we'll never come out. And God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring healing and freedom to every person around us. But what about that nursery rhyme, Pastor Sherry? Sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never hurt us. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It is the most culturally dangerous lie. It just is. Because it does hurt. Those words hurt. And they can scar you for a lifetime. Because you'll actually, if you do not clean out those hurts and replace it with the truth of God's word, you'll start to believe it. It'll start to become your identity. And your real identity is a child of God, a son and a daughter of the kingdom of God, to walk in the blessing, the provision, the strength, the grace, where you have Father God having your back in every place he sent you. But we won't see ourselves like that. We'll see ourselves and other people through the lens of our own brokenness. You know, the words people call us and the names they call us really do hurt. Being lied about hurts. How many people have been lied about? How many people, that there was someone that went so far out of your way, out of their way, to destroy your character? I have. I had someone go to every church in town and lie, bold-faced lies that never even happened again. It like hurt my heart, and only two pastors had, I'd say, the strength of care to call me, saying, hey, this is what this person is saying about you. And it hurt. It hurt. And they wanted to know if there was some, they said, I didn't believe it. It was so out of character, but it still hurt to be slandered. Do you know people do that with people's businesses? They have one bad interaction with someone. They go out and they're trying to destroy their business, trying to destroy their character. Honestly, we have an epidemic of self-harm because on social media, our kids are dealing with people that are trying to slander them and destroy them every day. We need to walk in that healing and freedom so we can help them. Amen? Lies hurt. Being misunderstood and misrepresented hurts. Have you ever had that happen? Where someone just like misrepresented your motives, your intention, and it hurt. You're like, no, that's not what I meant. That's not who I am. Why are you speaking for me on this matter? Being gossiped about hurts. It hurts to the core. You know, everybody wants someone to say nice things about us, right? Raise your hand. I would like people to say nice things about me. I had a wonderful teenager, and I was saying really great things about them behind their back. And I was like, I went to their face. I said, I was talking great things about you behind your back. And I told them what was said, and they looked at me, and I was like, people are saying great things about you behind your back because it's so outside of what the culture. You know, what starts out innocent, we start out in this innocent conversation, and we run out of things to talk about, or in our own insecurity, we don't want to talk about our own lives. So what do? We talk about someone else's. Because, you know, that's trendy. Gossip will give you things to talk about at the water cooler at work. If you want to trash the boss, all of a sudden you have a place to sit in the workroom. Okay? And then people start talking about things in your life like they're experts, and they don't even know the half of it. And then it finally circles back to you, and it just hurts finding out people are talking about you like they know you. Or you told someone something in confidence and private, and then they said it to someone else. It just hurts. We share things flippantly, not intending to hurt somebody, but it does hurt. You know, people appear strong, but we are not bulletproof. Raise your hand if you, come on, people perceive me as a strong person. Yeah, I'm bold, tenacious, and whatever, but I am not bulletproof. I am human. I am not Superman. Those bullets of words do not just bounce right off of me. And I may like, go, okay, I love and I forgive them, but I'll tell you, there's that 2 a.m, 3 a.m, wake up where you toss for 2 hours until you pass out because those words hurt. But we assume they can take it, right? You ever have a conversation, like, I just want to be honest with you. I've done this in my own stupidity sometimes. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just want to be honest with you. And, you know, this is what I see and this is what I'm feeling. And I think they're okay. I have made this mistake over and over again. And I unknowingly caused damage to that relationship because just because they're a strong person, those words of truth, and my motive was to speak it in love, but Satan came and just twisted and attacked their brain, and it caused damage to that relationship. And we walk away thinking everything's good. We assume that. We assume that relationship can take it, that personality can take it. If they can dish it, they can take it, right? But unknowingly, we leave a wound behind. It wasn't our intention, and we have to talk about it. Honestly, I'll talk about it. We're going to talk more in future on like how to handle things. But like the moment something tweaks your heart, I had someone that I had said something. And honestly, I was just in a rush. I was just in a rush. I didn't have a lot of time. So I was like kind of just jumped to a conclusion. It wasn't my intention. And they came back to me immediately, said, Pastor Sherry, you know, you said this thing. And I'm not, it just kind of like just sat funny. And I realized it kind of hurt. And I go, oh my gosh, thank you for letting me know right away. I am so sorry. I didn't continue to listen to what you had to say because I was rushing. Please forgive me, but tell me everything that you were thinking. And then it was just patched up immediately. And I thought, what great maturity in such a young person, a very young person, what great maturity they had to just immediately go, hey, that one thing that you said just didn't sit right. I just want to make things right between us. We say things rashly, quickly, in sarcasm, and I'm very sarcastic. I think situational sarcasm is hilarious. But cutting down someone to make you feel better about yourself, I don't think that's a God thing. Does that make sense? I'm super sarcastic. We can joke and cut around about situation, but I don't want to cut down someone else. Does that make sense? And that's that balance on it. So Proverbs 12, verse 18, the Amplified Bible says this, there are those who speak rashly. Raise your hand if you've ever spoken rashly. Just blurts out of your mouth, right? We're not trying to say something dumb or hurtful, okay? There are those that speak rashly, like the piercing of a sword. Did not mean to be like that, okay. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So listen, if you speak rashly and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings it, you know, like you're trying to go to bed that night and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you know, you kind of said a dumb thing. Go text yourself so you don't forget it. and go call him the next day. Don't wait. If you can't see him in person, probably within 24 hours, if you lost sleep, they lost sleep, okay? Then call them immediately. Do not text them. They will not hear the right tone of voice. Call them and just apologize, make it right. Because a wise tongue will bring healing, even if that same tongue in unintention cuts someone down, right? New Living Translation says this: some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Okay. So there's a type of speech that will cut to the core like a knife. And it's just flippant words. We all do it. And you try to shake it off, but it doesn't just shake off. Like I said, it normally comes to you in the middle of the night. And it can haunt you every time you see them and you remember what they said. I would say this: please let them know right away. Honestly, if you wait longer in the week, I'm just going to say it feels a little petty at that point. So please, like, right away, just let them know, whether you hurt them or they hurt you, let them know just right away. Not an accusatory, you hurt me. Just be like, hey, go in there assuming, believing the best in them. Hey, you said this one comment. I know you probably didn't mean to hurt me. It's kind of like keeps coming up. It's kind of bugging me. And probably they're going to say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I take it back. Was not my intention. Heals the relationship, heals your heart, and we all can move forward together. But if you stuff it because in our own pride, oh, I'm a man, I can take that, I can take the hit, blah, 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 blah. If it's bugging you, your own pride and your ego is keeping you from restoring a relationship that God wants to use in your life. Or we'll start avoiding them. So one of the most difficult things to deal with in life is being hurt. And I want to talk this about hurts. Hurt feelings especially will rob us of the blessings of God. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. It says this: don't sin by letting anger control you, but don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. How many people know it's hard? Okay, how people have had siblings chase you around the house, right? And then you run into the one room that's got a lock on it. And what does your sibling do? They shove their foot in. Ha ha! Come on, did you not have like crazy sibling relationships, you know? Jump through the front window of the car just so you can ride shotgun. Ha ha! You know? Okay, so you shove your foot in and they can't shut the door and lock it. Okay, I use an innocent example. But at the reality of this is if you're trying to shut a door and lock it to keep a thief out and there's something stuck in the door jamb, which is hurt, which can turn to anger, which can turn to depression and all these things, you're going to become a very easy target for a demonic attack. And with that door that's just stuck a little bit open with that little foothold, they will come back and rob you blind of everything that you hold dear. It'll start with mental health, relationships, divine connections, finances in every area. So holding on to hurt too long leads to anger, depression, isolation. Hurting people hurt people. Next thing you know, you're like attacking someone else, whatever it may be. So how long is too long to hold on to hurt? The scripture says right here that you need to clean it out daily. That means Brad can attest to this. I love my husband like so much, and I'm so grateful. God, he is a gift from God in my life. Every day we pray together before, and he leaves for work earlier than me. He goes to the gym. He's like, amazing. Goes to the gym in the morning. I'm like, no way. And so sometimes he'll wake me up to pray, and you should wake up your spouse to pray with them. The only time, right? just want to think so many things right now. But anyway, so we pray together every morning and every evening. And when we have things, we just try to pray together. And there were a lot of nights in the last couple months that I would cling to my husband's hand, just hold on to his hand. And we would pray. And I would just, through sometimes tears in my eyes, fight to release the daily hurts. And honestly, the ones that had compiled up over the last couple months and year, they just fight it. As I wanted to sleep that night. And it hurt so bad. And I knew I just had to like start cleaning out the hurt locker every night. And I just hold his hand. I was like, God, I forgive this person. God, forgive me for my reactions to that hurt. Forgive me for venting about it. Forgive me for just saying something in reaction. Heal my heart, God. Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see that person the way you see them. Help me totally forgive them and not hold that sin against them. Help me to destroy the scorecard. Help me to restore that relationship in a healthy way. Why? Why was I fighting for that? Tears in my eyes. I'm telling you, it was hard. Because I did not want Satan to rob me blind. And yeah, I could justify it. Yeah, I could hold on to that hurt. Yeah, I could play the victim. And yeah, I could tell you all about the people that hurt me in this church. I could really defend that area in my life. I could campaign to get everybody on my side. It would destroy me, and it would destroy what God has called me to do. And you think it's going to make you feel better. It won't. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Yes, it's called sin. I had to work to clean out the hurt locker, and it is good to have a confidant, a healthy person in your life to pray about with those things. Doesn't mean I tell everybody about it, but like having, like I said, one or two people in your life as a healthy confidant, a counselor, a pastor, a healthy spouse, a best friend, someone that is just, is going to tell you things you don't want to hear. And my husband would, and it would be hard sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to hold me. Come on, how have you been there? No, you need someone that's going to help you walk through those things and release those things. John 10:10 says this. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? The ultimate goal of Satan and his demons are to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will steal anything he can get his claws in, anything. Anything. But he wants to steal something that is valuable. Why does he work so hard to destroy and divide relationships? Why does he work so hard to destroy and divide teams, divine connections, churches, communities, businesses? Why is he working so hard to divide and destroy our nation? Because it's valuable and it's worth fighting for. Relationships, church unity, friendships, marriages, our nation, it is worth fighting for. Why is he trying to destroy trust in the teams that God has called you to minister with? Because he is trying to destroy the fruit of your life. He is trying to destroy the ministry and the calling of your life. He is trying to destroy your family and the legacy of the calling of your children by dividing and separating people through hurt. It's like I don't know if you're like a gardener or, you know, you're like us and you're just, do you know plants are so expensive these days? We just did our backyard. Oh my gosh. And then like had a tree die. I was like, oh no. I like grieved it like a human. I was like, God, I bless it. I want charismatic on it. I'd be like, shalalala, bless that tree. Okay. I was like, okay, trees are valuable, right? We were at the Salmon's house. Jason Salmon has this beautiful fruit trees. But what happens if every couple years you're going to uproot that fruit tree and move it somewhere else? Every couple years, you're going to uproot it and move it somewhere else. Is it going to bear fruit? You're actually traumatizing the root system, and you didn't kill the tree. The tree's still called to bear fruit, but every time you uproot it and move it somewhere else because of hurt and pain and avoidance, I'm not going to their house anymore. I will uproot. I'm not going to that church anymore. I will uproot. Yeah, your tree's still alive, but it will take years to catch up to get the root system healthy to bear great fruit again. Satan wants to divide, separate, and destroy because he wants to steal the fruit. Because what happens with fruit? When you read the Bible, it says you'll know a tree by its fruit. Fruit is very important to the God. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to have a fruitful marriage. That's why he wants to destroy marriages. He wants you to have fruitful children. He wants you to have spiritual legacy. He wants your business to be fruitful, right? He wants your ministry to produce fruit. What is fruit? Transform lives. People getting born again and spirit-filled and lives changing and people being healed, moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you can't do all these things with division and hurt and separation. Uproot. Uproot. He wants to destroy the fruit because God is glorified in the fruitfulness of your life. God is glorified in fruitful relationships. God is glorified when your children are healthy and doing great things for God or just, you know, found their career path and giving God all the glory. When they started their business, there's a young man in the youth group that started a lawn mowing business and God is blessing it and it's being fruitful. And my goodness, he was trying to think, how old is Aiden? I don't know. He's like, what is it? He just graduated. He gives glory to God. God is glorified in our fruitfulness. But if we keep our hurt locker, it becomes a blessing blocker. Everybody say the hurt locker is a blessing blocker. We have to clean it out daily. You need to grab the hand of your spouse, your best friend, your pastor, your small group leader, and say, I need you to stand in faith. I have been so hurt. And my heart is broken. And I don't think I can go on anymore. Will you stand with me and help me clean out this hurt locker? Will you stand with me as I release these hurts to the Lord? Will you fight by my side for healing in these areas? If we don't fight for that daily, we will allow a robber to exist in our life. We will have a wide open door to be robbed blind by the enemy. So before we can really move forward in life to fruitfulness, we have to understand how vital it is to take all that hurt out. Oh man, it's that time. That's okay. I'm not bound to my notes. I'm bound to the Holy Spirit. It's not about the perfect ending. I'm just going to stand up right now. We're just going to keep this prayer simple. If altar ministers can come forward, grow group leaders, ministry directors can come forward to pray. If someone can just get a little worship music in the background here. We're not going to rush this. I have so many things that I like to say, but you don't rush a moment. So just close your eyes and just open up your hands right now as a sign of surrender. You know, we sang that song about I surrender all. It's one of my favorite songs. I love that song. It's actually, I didn't even know it was in the playlist, and I was playing that song yesterday. It is a fight to surrender all. The Bible tells us to cast all of our cares, to lay our burdens down. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our shame. And it says in Isaiah 53 that he took our pain and the hurt of the world on him. And he took it, and by the lashes he took on his back, he was tortured beyond human recognition. So you wouldn't have to hold on to it, and you wouldn't have to stuff it. He said, I came to take the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the betrayal, the shame that came with what they did to you and what they said about you. I came to take it to the cross. You must leave it there. You must leave it there. You must leave it there. Don't hold on to it to justify the wounds. Don't justify the decisions. Don't hold on to it to justify the brokenness of that relationship. We leave it nailed to the cross, the completed work at the cross, and we receive his healing power in these areas of wounds and of hurt by faith. Faith is not a feeling. There are some people here that there's an emotional response, and hey, Holy Spirit, God created emotions, but there are some of you in here that feel nothing, and God is still speaking to you through the power of his word. We are moved not by our emotions, we are moved by faith. And if you say, by faith, I know that there are areas in my life that are unhealthy, there are hurts, there are wounds that I have stuffed, that I've held on to justify brokenness of relationships or not stepping out in the ministry call of God on my life, or there's a lack of fruitfulness in my business or in my marriage because I am holding on to the justification of the hurts that people have caused me. I am not looking for your emotions right now. I am asking you to receive the word of God by faith that is demonstrated through scripture and say, this is not God's will for me. God's will for you is to walk in healing and wholeness and fruitfulness and to go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring healing and freedom to those around you. So some of you, there's an emotional response right now. Some of you, there's nothing. You don't feel anything. But I will say this, God is requiring you because he commands us by faith to forgive, and he commands us by faith to release those hurts to Jesus. You know that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. Surrender it all. if you'd like to pray with someone, come forward. And I'm going to pray with you right now. Just every eye closed, hands raised in surrender. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I surrender all. The hurt, the pain, the betrayal, the slander, the abuse, the attacks. I surrender it to you. I'm sorry for taking it up. I give it back to you. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. I receive it by faith. We're going to just receive it by faith. Jesus, thank you for healing my heart. I receive it by faith. Help me to release those that have hurt me. I don't want to carry it anymore. I want to move forward in health. Show me how to restore the healthy relationships. And the ones that were abusive, I surrender to you. Doesn't make it okay. It wasn't okay. I want to say this, and this isn't a prayer. What they did was not okay. The sins against you was not okay. It is not justified. God is not okay with it. It breaks his heart when someone hurts his child in any capacity. God hates sin. We're going to call sin, sin. But we will not allow the sins of other people against us to define us and rob us of our inheritance and our fruitfulness and the calling of God. We will not allow the sins that others have held against us and attacked us with to cause future relationships and friendships to be avoided or destroyed. And now I just release you. If there's someone in this room that has hurt you, unknowingly or knowingly, this is a good opportunity to just release that sin debt. Just hug them and tell them you love them. Maybe be the first one to apologize. I encourage you, please do that before you leave today. Don't let another day of something shoved in your heart locker go by. Don't do it in text. Don't do it in writing. Try to do it face to face or call them so they can hear your voice of compassion and sincerity. Lord, we surrender. Just say it again. Jesus, I surrender the hurt to you. Thank you for healing me. Walk me through this process of total forgiveness, total healing, total restoration. Help me rebuild the bridge. You are the bridge, stronger and healthier than ever before. Amen. Church, you are loved. The altars are open. There are people that would love to pray with you. And like I said, if there's someone in the room, just hug them. Tell them you love them. You don't have to hash it all out, but let's restore and release those things. Jesus' name.